I enjoyed my moment yesterday for a full hour with 20 individuals that are expecting to hear their names called tonight as far as in the first round. You know, from all indications, I'm trying to put this in perspective, you know, as far as from a crowd standpoint. And they're still, you know, it's still 2 hours away. I don't even know what to anticipate as far as tomorrow night with the free Tim McGraw concert as well. You know, everybody wants to talk first and look back to 2 years ago with when the Preds were making their run and when they ended up being in the Stanley Cup playoff against Pittsburgh. I'm not even sure that even rivals what we're talking about tonight.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. And, you know, I certainly don't have a number at this point, but you know, it's also, as I'm looking from the media center, I'm looking at the pedestrian bridge, and I have not seen that thing let up for hours. I mean, it is crawling with people going back and forth because, of course, they got the draft experience you know, outside Nissan Stadium. So you take that into account and all the people who are getting you know, involved with that, and then just, you know, you got Lower Broadway. You've got open intox allowed during this thing. You got beer stands all over the place, you know, on top of the bars that are already there. And it's been very, I don't want to say Mardi Gras, but Broadway does remind me a little bit of Bourbon Street, a little bit more today.
And we'll see how that all plays out. And then plus, oh, by the way, the marathon on Saturday. So you everybody gets to navigate those waters, too, especially early on Saturday. So a little bit of everything over the next 3 days.
Exactly. And like you said, you know, you got the concert tomorrow. You know, you figure that Saturday might be a day where, you know, more families. Although it's obvious, Johnny, that a lot of people – did what I would not do today, even though I was begged to do it, and let their kids out of school to go come do this.
Right.
You know, but certainly I think you'll see a lot, you know, a lot of families probably jumping on Saturday, which, you know, it just makes sense. So,
Saturday, Saturday you got the Dierks Bentley concert when the draft is over. You also have Jimmy Buffett in the Bridgestone Arena. By that point, though, the draft might be over with. But you still will have the Dierks Bentley concert going on. So, welcome to Nashville.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then there's Taylor Swift. Wait, is she? I don't know. Is she going to show up late night and do something crazy here?
She's got her new CD coming out tomorrow. She's taking full advantage of all these different variety of folks in town for the draft. So smart from a marketing standpoint on her behalf.
Absolutely, and you know, there's rumblings around here that we may not have seen the last of her today. That in fact, tonight we may see more of her. So we'll see about that.
All right, so I'm looking at all the various mock drafts, and you see everything that's the speculations out there. And I'm not talking about the other 31 teams. I'm just talking about the Titans at number 19, if they're still in that position. And I've got latest count. I've got 9 different names that have been associated with that pick for the Titans. Everything from a quarterback to a wide receiver to a defensive lineman. I mean, list goes on and on and on. If you narrowed it down to 2 or 3 picks, which direction would you go?
Well, again, I've been saying all along, I think, you know, I think defense is the way to go. And I think, you know, if not knowing the way they're rating everyone, not knowing if they have maybe 1 or 2 names that, you know, rise way above a lot of guys that we think are all around the same, if they look at it the same way the world seems to look at it, and I think trading down is absolutely a viable thing here, and maybe they could still get who they like and then add picks, because I do think that after last year's draft, when you get 3 players, you know, one who may just be a special teams guy, maybe not, but 2 guys, you know, you're going to count on, but 3 total players add to your roster. I mean, you need more than that on an annual basis. You need more of that good quality depth of young, cheap labor on your roster. So I think if you can add to the picks tonight and still get who you want, I think you do that, and I do. I think edge rusher and interior defensive lineman will both be addressed tonight. And I know they got Cameron Wake and they've got some other guys, but I think that's a big need. And I don't think there's any questions. Joel Casey needs more help. And then after that, you know, I think there's other ways, you know, I think interior offensive line and all that will be addressed. But I'd be surprised if they don't hit that defensive front right away.
And it's one of those things, depending on where the draft is, if they're in the position and say like a Dexter Lawrence, you know, here's somebody who's quite talented and yet he may be available three or four or five picks after where the Titans are drafting right now. So he might be somebody that the Titans could move back and still be able to get, but also pick up a, you know, additional draft pick or two as well. So it's I don't know. Do you know Michael Middlehurst Schwartz with USA Today? I don't know him personally, but he had his mock draft today in his issue, and he has an you know, it's somebody who certainly I think is going to be a nice talent at the NFL level, but he's not going to provide immediate help. And he has the Titans taking Jeffrey Simmons, the defensive tackle for Mississippi State, who suffered the torn ACL earlier this year.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I mean, that's, you know, that's one of those things where you're probably not going to get much, you know, probably not going to get any help from him in your first year. And you've got character concerns there, which is where I sort of say, it casts doubt on that idea for me,
right?
Given what we know of John Robinson, but you know, if they're comfortable with him and they feel like he's vetted, I mean, that's a guy who is going to probably be drafted lower than his talent level. I think he's absolutely a top 10 talent. So that's an intriguing thing. You can't just think about next year. You do have to think long term. And so if they think that it's, I mean, if they could get him there at 19, I mean, that would be a heck of a bargain. I would have to think that would be tempting.
Joe Rexrow with the Tennessean joining us. All right, so let's just say that Murray goes as expected from Arizona, and then, you know, Dwayne Haskins, either the Giants or Raiders select him, even somebody makes the play for Daniel Jones, the quarterback from Duke. All of a sudden, at 19th, there's somebody by the name of Drew Locke, the quarterback from Missouri, available. And look, it was being thrown out there yesterday morning, and so I had the opportunity. He put it this way: he had not even heard it, but then he told me that he has been worked out, had a great visit with the coaching staff. He would absolutely love to play for the Tennessee Titans. If he's available and the Titans are picking, and they're not sold on Marcus Mariota. You know, I've seen stranger things happen. I mean, Look, put it this way. Here's Arizona. They got Josh Rosen last year in the first round, and they're probably taking Kyler Murray with the first overall pick tonight. So if they can do that, and you fast forward to the Titans still waiting for Marcus Mariota to develop into, quote-unquote, the franchise quarterback, when you're still unsettled on what he is, tell me that you're not tempted to go Drew Locke with Missouri.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, if you do go Drew Locke, then I think you're basically saying that you're done with Marcus Mariota. Anything's possible. I mean, I can't sit here and say it's impossible. I will say that I will be shocked, and, a lot of the things that, I think I've looked at this draft night as, the Titans will add someone and it'll be, someone who may or may not help them, probably will help them. But a lot of the story tonight is about the draft in Nashville and just the spectacle. Well, if they do that, they become the story. So,
all right.
If you're going to make a splash, boom, you've done it. I have a hard time seeing it. I mean, the only way is if you're just absolutely convinced that that kid is going to be, a 10-year star in this league. Sometimes teams fall in love with individuals and do crazy things because of it. So it would be a heck of a story. And if it happens, Johnny, then you will have, you will have given us a bit of a preview, just sort of a scoop on the possibility.
Well, I just look back at this, and one of the things that I looked at when Dak Prescott was quarterback for Mississippi State, he wasn't surrounded by a lot of outstanding talent, but the very first college football playoff committee poll that ever came out back in 2014, the number one team in the country was Dak Prescott and Mississippi State. When you look at Missouri, it's not a team with a lot of loaded talent surrounding Drew Locke during his career there for Missouri. And so to me, he makes players around him better. He's had his ups. He certainly has had his downs. But a lot of those downs, not his fault. He's just trying to take on and do as much as possible with his talents to bring his teammates up to the compete against some of these teams in the SEC. He comes off well in an interview. I'll give him that. He seems very humble, and he certainly feels very confident. I can see why people in the huddle would be looking at him in that huddle and be willing to follow him, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see him working out. I think he's a very good quarterback. I agree. He seems, just from what I've seen, impressive. So he's an interesting guy because you've heard a lot about, obviously Kyler Murray, and you think Dwayne Haskins, probably is going to go sooner than later. Drew Locke is a guy I've seen all over when you look at the mock drafts. I mean, I've seen people have him very high and believing that some teams are really, really high. I've seen him, not going in the first round. So he'll be interesting one way or the other, whether Titans get him, someone else gets him, or he's still waiting tomorrow.
I just asked this question, when you're – and I haven't heard an answer yet where they have disagreed with me. But to make runs into the playoffs, you've got to get there. And it starts with being able to be obviously competitive inside your division, correct? So I bring this up because of the fact that if you look at the AFC South, do the Titans have anybody at quarterback right now with Marcus Mariota and Ryan Tannehill that's better than Andrew Luck with the Colts? No. Better than what Watson brings to the table with Houston? No. Can you say they're better than Nick Foles, who has a Super Bowl ring? He's now with Jacksonville? No. And so if you're at your fourth on that list as far as in the quarterback's position alone, that's the reason why I would not be shocked.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'd ease up on Foles if you look at the whole track record. I understand that he has a Super Bowl ring and he played extremely well and he's done extremely good work, in a backup role coming in. I can't sit here and say definitively that, he's clearly three over Mariota. Watson is, I guess I would put him ahead of him. But Watson, there was some ups and downs in his second year. Yeah, Luck is an elite quarterback, and Mariota's not ever going to be that good. Doesn't mean the Titans can't beat the Colts with Mariota quarterbacking against Luck, even though it hasn't happened. But, yes, the Titans are with Mariota, from what we know. They are probably not going to win any beauty pageants or come in high on any list or have great stats. But it doesn't mean that they can't beat those teams. And, that's, again, when you talk about how do you beat Andrew Luck? How do you beat Deshaun Watson? Well, to me, you better get after them. And you better stop them and sack them and make things tough on them. The Titans aren't built to get into shootouts anyway, whether it's Mariota or someone else at quarterback.
One more question before we let you go. What storyline are you looking forward to following the most tonight? Is it what happens if Murray is not taken first? Because if that's the case, it throws everything out of whack there. And the other one for me is also watching the run on defensive linemen. At what point do teams realize, well, maybe we should look at another position if we're talking about the eighth or ninth best guy on the defensive front? But your thoughts, what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, no, well, certainly if what you mentioned there happens, then all of a sudden the draft just got a lot more interesting, and it's already interesting, but then, like you said, chaos results from that.
And that's what we love. We love chaos.
Yeah, you're right, absolutely. I know that there are reporters here, you think back 3 years ago, the Laramie Tunsil thing.
Right.
There's always a chance of some kind of bombshell like that, but certainly I'm interested in the Titans, and I'm still, even though I've been out here all day, I'm looking forward to going back out there and seeing what it's all like when the event actually starts, how it projects, what the street's like, and how things go. Things can be controlled, and the rain is going to have some say in some of that too, but just what it will all look like when the event actually starts. I'm very interested in that storyline too.